already know that the next coming weekend, we will be having Reverend Father John Broussard. He is from the religious community of the Mercy Fathers, and he is residing at the Shrine of Our Lady Champion in Wisconsin here. So he's going to be here that weekend to begin a four-day parish mission or parish revival, if you like, or parish retreat, you know, with us. And during those days, those 4 days, he will be paying attention to some topical issues that some of you already know, you know, like the Sacrament of Reconciliation, our Blessed Mother, Blessed Virgin Mary, the theology of suffering and the cross, the Eucharist and the Mass, and then the living our faith in our daily lives. You know, when I was reflecting on those issues, it then dawned on me that because he comes from a religious community called Mercy Fathers, so that was why he actually chose those very special topics that are actually central to our Christian faith. Because fundamentally, when you look at their own religious spirituality, it's founded on mercy. And when you look at all those topics, somehow they are related to mercy, the mercy of God. So I think that's why he chose them. So let us just look forward to having a very good time with them, fruitful period. Let us not, have like determine the outcome already. Rather, let us leave ourselves loose and allow the Holy Spirit to use him and whatever approach he might adopt in treating those topics. We know that God is in charge and in control, and through him, we all will be richly blessed. So I have in the Natex, a sign-up sheet. It's about preparing breakfast and supper. I would like some persons to volunteer to assist me with that. You know, I'm still learning how to prepare American dishes, American meals. So if you will be willing to assist with that, just kindly sign up there, and then we will see to discuss more on the issue. Now the reflection for today. Jesus, or rather the statement, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up again. A statement made by Jesus in response to his detractors who wanted to know by what authority he acted the way he did on that very day in the temple. We know that Jesus had been enraged by the way, certain things were being conducted in the temple. And as a result of that, Jesus on that very day picked up a whip and drove the people out of the temple and told them that they should not turn the Father's house into a marketplace. One can only assume that prior to that day, Jesus had at different occasions visited the temple in Jerusalem and must have taken part in the prayers and the sacrifices offered there, just as, other fellow pious Jews did. And also, during one of those visits, he must have also observed, the disorderly affairs, the lack of reverence for the sacredness of the temple, of the place of worship, and also the hypocrisy of the religious leaders and of some of the worshippers in Jerusalem on that day or some other those times. But the question is, why did he not act during those times? Why did he have to wait until now to intervene the way he did? Now, the answer to that will be that Jesus was patiently waiting for the right moment. Jesus was acting on God's own timetable, not his own, because God had a plan for Jesus, for his life. And Jesus had come to realize, this plan through the way he had established a steady relationship with his Father. And so Jesus had aligned his own will to the will of his Father. That is another way of telling us that all of us, God has a plan for each and every one of us. And until we learn to begin to align our will to His, we may never be able to understand His plan for us and what He wants us to do, you know, or understand His will. And we all know that the will of God is always perfect for us. Perfect, because He loves us perfectly. And His wisdom is enshrouded in His will. And it is, unless we really, have that steady relationship, we will not understand His will, because His ways are different from our ways. You know, and that is why it was difficult for, you know, the Jewish people to understand Him. And so they saw Jesus' life, His lifestyle, and the way He died as a stumbling block, like St. Paul will put it in the second reading. And for the Gentiles, like the Greeks, it was foolishness. But there we heard that the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God, and vice versa. So it is all about Jesus Himself. Jesus understood this will of the Father, and the will was for Him to lay down His life, to live a life of sacrificial love for others, and to, of course, to die on behalf of mankind, in order that, you know, the gate of paradise will be open for us, in order to reconcile us with the Father and with one another. And because of what He did it so perfectly well, like St. Paul would say in Philippians chapter 2, beginning from verse 6, because He obeyed His Father so perfectly well, the Father raised Him, not only raising Him from the dead triumphantly, but also raised Him so high above all created things, visible and invisible, and then made Him the Lord of all things, the Lord of all things. So it was because of this, that was the wisdom of the Father. Now, Jesus' action that very day was very symbolic. We can view it from two perspectives, material perspective and spiritual perspective. From the material perspective, Jesus' action in cleansing the temple was a protest against the commercialization of religion and the desecration of the temple, you know, because the religious leaders and the trade merchants, even though they worshipped in the temple too, but had dishonest dealings with the people, particularly the ordinary people, the simple people. And so Jesus' action that very day was, He passed a judgment on the Jewish religious sacrificial system and replaced it with spiritual worship. That is why, if we remember what happened, or rather His encounter with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, the woman was telling Jesus, your people say we are going to go to Jerusalem in order to worship God, but our forefathers asked us to worship God here on this mountain. And Jesus said, well, woman, let me tell you, the time has come. In fact, it is right now when all true worshipers must worship my Father in spirit and in truth. And so, looking at it from the spiritual perspective, we hear Jesus referring to Himself as the temple or the sanctuary. In other words, Jesus is the new temple, and with a new mode of worship that is most pleasing to the Father and acceptable to Him. And that is to say that Jesus' entire lifestyle and person was a kind of worship that honored the Father perfectly well. Now, how did He come to this? How did He realize this? It was because of His complete submission to the Holy Spirit lead. You know, remember, after His baptism, we are told that He was in the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit drove Him into the desert where he began His mission. So it was His ability to submit completely to the Holy Spirit guidance and direction, that enabled Him to live out the Father's will completely and lovingly, up to the point of dying on the cross on our behalf for our salvation. And that is why He said in John chapter 8, verse 29, I always do what pleases my Father. I always do what pleases my Father. Therefore, Jesus came into the world to lead all people to give a sincere worship to the Father, just as Himself honored the Father while on earth. No one on earth has within him or her the power to worship God as God deserves. And so, in order to enable us to do that, give God that worship in a worthy manner, Jesus had to turn you and I into God's temple, by communicating God's Spirit to us. He did that during our baptism. At our baptism, we all became temples of the Holy Spirit. And so it is this Spirit that empowers us to live by God's will, by His commandments, each moment, if we only obey Him. And Jesus says, if you live truly by the law of love, you have kept all the commandments. We truly worship and honor God when we live our lives loving and serving others like Jesus did. Therefore, this love that Jesus recommends is what renders meaningfully and worthily all our material temples, our material offerings, our Sunday gathering or our Eucharistic gatherings, our worship acceptable to God the Father. We are the ones who can make both the material and spiritual temples truly a house of prayer. So the question now is, if Jesus were to enter our sanctuaries or our temples, what might he be up against? And here I have on paper a very instructive reflection from one of our staff during one of our staff meetings. You know, usually we begin our staff meeting with prayer and then we study the Word of God or the upcoming weekend readings and give reflection on that. So based on that, we'll ask ourselves this question. Will Jesus be angry that worship spaces have turned into a place where people come to socialize and be entertained? Will Jesus be angry with us for playing games, texting, and checking emails on our smartphones during any part of worship? Would Jesus be angry with us for making out our grocery list during Mass while pretending to listen? Would Jesus be angry with us for being so focused on every aspect of worship being flawless that we miss the chance to be surprised by the mystery of grace that normally takes place when the people of God come together for Eucharistic celebrations and other liturgical celebrations? Would Jesus be angry with those who worry more about the empty pews than being delighted by the people who have come to praise God and be filled the more with the love of God for others? So these are food for thoughts.